I just want to talk for a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the new year and kind of, you know, tie in the fact that communion has something to say about something new as well. And really, that's what I want to talk about is that word new. It's just a real common word, but we hear it a lot this time of year going into 2018. And as I mentioned last Sunday, when I preached last Sunday, there's a lot of things that we don't want to take into the new year, right? How many were here last Sunday? All right, a lot of you. So how many remember what I... No, I'm not going to ask you that. you know, we don't want to take grudges into the new year. Amen? Leave them behind. Don't want to take unbelief. Don't want to take fear. Those different things. But there's some things we do want in this new year. And so I want to look at the communion text first. It's interesting to me, and this is really where I think the thought came to me, and I just shared it at the table of the Lord. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. This is Matthew 26:26. He blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. Of the new covenant. It's not the old covenant, that's what you've been under, but it's the new covenant. It's the new agreement, the new testament. We know Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new testament, or the new agreement, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then he goes on to say, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it, what? New with you in my Father's kingdom. So this is the last time you'll celebrate Passover in the old way. And now, from here on, you'll celebrate communion, what we know as communion, or the recognition of Christ's sacrifice, in a new way, in my Father's kingdom. And we find that true in the book of Acts. So there's something special about the fact that our communion lesson is always speaks of the new. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives instructions for the communion that had been given to him, starting in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul reiterates what Jesus said in Matthew 26. He said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. In verse 25, he says what Jesus said. This is about something new, the new covenant, the new agreement. And so at this beginning of a new month and a new year, I thought about that word new. And though it has a couple different renditions in different versions, in the old King James Bible, I took a Strong's Concordance and I counted how many times the word new was used in the Old Testament. And I came up with about 86 times in the Old Testament that the word new is actually used. And then in the New Testament, it's used about 60 times. And again, there's some other words that imply new, but the first time the word new is used in the old King James Bible in the Old Testament is in Genesis, where the Bible says that a new king arose who knew not Joseph. A new king came that didn't know who Joseph was. All he knew is that he had about 1,500,000 slaves, but he didn't really know them at all. Now, the implication of Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is that there was a new earth, there was new this, new that, etc. But the word new isn't used until Genesis that deals with the Pharaoh in Egypt. And we'll read it in a little bit. What's interesting is the last time we hear the word new in the Bible is in the book of Revelation, and it talks about God knowing everybody. What a difference between a king who didn't know anything about God to God who knows everything about everybody. Amen? And so this idea of new year, etc. And I thought about how special that word new is, really. I thought about a new baby because that's close to our hearts right now with the birth of Connor. We have a new baby. And how many know a new baby changes everything? All right? Everything. Even if you have a few children, you add a new baby to it, you know, you're kind of in the routine, but you still have some changes and adjustments you have to make. A new baby makes everything special. There just really are. I was holding Connor. I held him at the hospital, as I have been privileged to do for all my grandchildren. And whether it was Ryan, our oldest, or Tyler, or Abby, Logan, Jacob, or now Connor, it always brought a tear to my eye in the hospital that I'm holding a new grandchild, a new grandchild. I'm not sure I cried when Eddie was born. I was just excited that he was a boy and the football I bought him was going to be put to use. And I don't think I cried at Sharina's birth because I passed out in the delivery room. My wife was crying. Please get over here and help me. Forget my husband. Anyway, but this new baby. And so I was holding him at Sharina and Jimmy's house the other day, and I'm holding the baby and he's sleeping nice and, you know, everything, and it's precious and everything. And then he kind of wakes up a little bit and he turns his little head and starts looking toward my pocket. And I said, buddy, I knew he didn't want my glasses. But I said, you're going to be rudely disappointed right here. So I gave him to mom because she can meet that need. But a new baby is just something special. It really is. And then I thought about a new car. How many here ever got a new car? All right. Remember how it smelled? All right. Is that new car smell? Cheryl and I have had a couple in our married life, had a couple new cars, and just that smell, and you wish it smelled forever. I was at the auto parts store not long ago, and I was looking at those little air freshener things, you know, that you get, and I saw, you know, this one was cinnamon, and this one was like pine tree, and this was like dirty dog, and anyway, no, I don't know. But there was one in there called new car. That was the smell. Supposedly, it was like new car, and I tried it, and it didn't smell like my new car. But anyway, this whole idea of a new car, it's fresh, it's special, and we want to keep it nice, etc. And then a new house. Somebody's ever bought a new house before, right? And no one? New house? Okay. About three of you. Anyway, this new house, you want to keep it just the same and just like it was, something special about it. But how many know the new wears off after a while, right? We've lived in our house now for 38, 40 years. When it was new, everything nice, everything. Anyway, it slowly wears out. And then new clothes. How many got new clothes for Christmas? Come on. Be brave. Be strong. All right? Have you worn them yet? All right. Good. Yeah. I haven't. They're on your feet? Good job, Robbie. Yeah. I haven't worn mine yet, but there's something about new clothes. No, I guess this is new. Sorry, sweetie. I am wearing it. And then kids have new toys, on and on and on. But this idea of new, there's something special about something new. And I think maybe that's why communion was so special, is because it was new. And that's what Jesus said. This is my new covenant. It's my new testament, etc. And then sometimes we're reminded, what's interesting is the word new, I told you how many times those are used in the Old and New Testament, but the word renew, or words similar to it, making something new again, is only found 6 times in the New Testament and 10 times in the Old Testament. So there seems to be an emphasis in the Bible about making sure things are new. And we need to renew, but the important thing is something new, to keep it fresh, to keep it alive. And so I think in this new year, at least my encouragement to us as a body of believers, is that we ought to make sure that this new year coming, that we reach out to the Lord and ask God for a number of things. And one of them is a new strength, irregardless of what you went through in 2017. And in first service, I had a couple people say, I'm glad 2017 is gone and I never wanted to show up again. And maybe you feel the same way. Or maybe it was a great year for you. I don't know. But the fact is, the strength you had in 2017, guess what? That strength is gone, right? It is gone. It's done its work. What we need is a new strength for 2018. Come on. We need a new strength that God will help us through whatever it is that we may have to handle through the new year, a new strength. We need a new hope. We need a new hope that somehow God has great plans for us in 2018 and do, as Elihu said, some things that are beyond our comprehension. I don't know what those are, but we have a new hope for that. And I believe it's also important that we say, Lord, in this coming year, give me a new love for my family. Give me a new love for my family. You know, we love our family, but if we're not careful, it can become, I think, just like sometimes communion becomes, just another thing we do, another thing we do, another thing we do. I'm all for saying, God, give me a fresh new love for my wife, for my husband, for my kids, my grandkids, and my family. Give me a new love for my family. Amen. A new love for my family so that I can appreciate what they are and who they are. How many appreciate your family today? Come on. All right, if you're sitting by a family member, you turn to them and say, I appreciate you. Would you do that? I appreciate you. And that's important that we recognize the importance of family. And not only a love, a new love for family, but a new love for friends and our friendships that we have. Friendships are so important, and I'm sure many of you have friendships not only with people in the church, but people outside the church as well, your neighbors or those that attend other churches. Those are important friendships, and sometimes I think those need to be new as well. And who knows, maybe there's a new friend that God's going to put you in touch with, somebody you haven't even met yet, and they're going to become a new friend with you. You can never have too many friends, in my opinion, right? You can never have too many friends. And so it's important. And then I thought, Lord, what it would be to have a new love for God. You know, can our love for God be any better than it is now? I think it can. I think we can pray in 2018, God, give me a new love for you, a new appreciation for who you are and what you've done in my life. Let me know you in a fresh and a new way. I tell you, when you open up to God like that, get ready, because God could do some pretty wonderful things, right? Just the time we think we get God figured out and we know how he's going to work, he changes things up and does things that are just beyond our comprehension, because that's the God we serve, right? Every day. And so a new sense of God's love in this year. And then, of course, we can't forget that, Lord, give us a new love for this book, the Bible. We emphasize the Bible. We have Bible studies you can study with small groups. We use the Bibles on Sunday morning when we preach. And we encourage you to memorize it if you can. We encourage you to read it. We encourage you to study the Bible. How many know this Bible needs to be our best friend right here? And God, give me a new love for the Bible, a new love for the Bible. Let me read it with new eyes and a new, fresh vision of what God has for me. And so that's real, real important. The Bible, the Word of the Lord. This past year, I did something that I've done a little bit in the past, but not as much as I should. And I mentioned this in first service, that whenever I got an invitation to a wedding, or not to do the wedding, but to attend the wedding perhaps, or a birthday or something like that, not with everyone, but with many of them, I've been taking those Gideon cards out in the foyer. And those are cards you can take, and you can donate Bibles to honor someone for whatever the occasion is. I know the other day I attended a birthday party for someone that I think they turned 95. And I thought, what better gift to give someone 95 than to send out some Bibles out into the world through the Gideon's organization that'll touch lives and people will be won to Christ. So I put on their card. I said, I think I did, 5 Bibles are being donated in your name to go around the world to spread the gospel. And I got a note back and said, thank you so much. knowing that in honor of what my birthday was, those Bibles are going to either go into prisons or motels or in schools. They're going to go around the world and people will be won to Christ because of the Word of God. Amen? And then I stuck a check in, sent it to the Gideons, and those Bibles are on their way even now. I want to encourage you to do that. It's a great way to spread the Word of God. And how many believe it's important that this thing get out there to people? Amen? And so they're free. You can take the cards. It has explanation on them. And there's no finer organization, I believe, in the world than the Gideons in spreading the word of the Lord and the word of God. So a new look at the Bible. And then, Lord, in 2018, I want a new anointing for prayer. I believe it's important that God's people have a burden to pray fresh and new. How many know God's waiting to talk to you? Amen. What would happen to Cheryl and I if all through 2017 we never spoke a word to one another? What do you think would happen? I didn't hear that, but yeah, I'd go hungry. There you go. How many know our relationship would really be strained, right? Now, Cheryl wouldn't let that happen. I know her enough. She'd tie me down and force it out of me. But going without time talking to God is going to strain the relationship. But I'm telling you, God is waiting. And you say, well, I would talk to God, but I don't know what to say. This last year, I had the opportunity to meet a couple high-ranking officials in our state, and nothing that I did. I just happened to be at the same place that they were. And so I was going to introduce myself, but my fear was, what am I going to say to this person? And what you discover is these people are the same as you are. They're human beings. And I found that once I introduced myself, what I had to say just came out. It just did. The Lord helped it come out. But I'm telling you this, if you're not sure what to say to God, I can tell you, God doesn't care what you say. He just wants you talking to Him. Amen? You can say anything to God. Anything at all to God. You say, what if I offend Him? You will not offend God. Amen? If you say it wrong, He'll just strike you dead with lightning. No, He won't do that. No, just talk to God. And that's what prayer is just talking to God. How many believe in 2018 we just need a new, fresh approach to prayer? Amen? Lord, we want to talk to You fresh and anew. Talk to Him like you would a friend. And so, 2018, a new vision, a new outlook, a new appreciation for our community, for our church, for our job. This has been on my heart lately. The unemployment rate is lower than it has been for many, many years right now. And I thank the Lord for that. But there's still a few people unemployed. But how many people appreciate your job today? Come on, let me see your hand. About half of you. All right. What's wrong with the other half? Come on. You say, I don't like my boss. All right. Well, you may not like your boss, but how many know it's still nice to get that paycheck? Amen. Nice to get that paycheck so you can pay your bills and feed your family and all of that. You know, maybe 2018 is a year that we need to say, Lord, give me a new appreciation for my boss, for my job, for my coworkers. If you're retired and you don't have a everyday job or whatever, then thank God for your retirement that you have. Or thank God for a good government that provides Medicare and Medicaid. Amen? Thank God. There is a way that we can be grateful for our jobs this year. And so I think it's important that we do that. So, let me turn you to the book of Revelation, or encourage you to turn to the book of Revelation. I want to give some final thoughts now this morning, and I want to take you to the book of Revelation. I thought this was really interesting. Revelation chapter 21. It's toward the very end of the Bible, and what it talks about is new things. The word new, as I mentioned, in the beginning of the Bible is in Genesis, where a new king arose that knew not Joseph. That's the first use of the word new. So the last use of the word new is not about a king who doesn't know anybody. It's about the king who knows everybody. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Excuse me. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. Why is there a new heaven and a new earth? Now, the writer of this is John, who is imprisoned on an island called Patmos. It was an island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea where he was imprisoned. It was a prison island. And the Roman government put him there thinking he would die. They had tried to put him to death by boiling him in oil. He survived. So they put him on this prison island thinking he would die of old age. He was somewhere between 90 and 95 probably when he was on that island. And God gave him the vision that we know is the book of Revelation. It was the revelation of things that would begin to happen in his lifetime and continue on through history until the end of the world. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And while on that prison island, God said to him in vision form that I want you to see there is a new heaven and a new earth. The old one is not going to continue forever. How many are glad this old world will not continue forever? Hallelujah. But there is a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, and now it's called New Jerusalem. It's not the old Jerusalem. It is the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The idea of bride is new. This new bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, or the dwelling place of God is with men. See, that king that didn't know Joseph or any of the slaves, that new king, he didn't know them all. He didn't know any of them. But here, God dwells with us, and he knows every one of us. Hallelujah. He knows every one of us, and he will know everyone at this great day that it's talking about. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many are grateful for that? Amen. No more crying. There shall be no more death. I am so glad for that. Nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Praise God. All of you that experience pain, come on, say amen. No more pain. For the former things have passed away. 2017 is gone. 2018 is a new year with new things, a new hope, a new joy, and a new connection with God. But here at the end of the world, the old is gone. But something else is come that is new. And look at verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne, God himself says, behold, I make all things what? I make all things new. The last reference of the word new in the entire Bible has to do with everything that's going to take place. Everything that's been created for us to be in heaven with the Lord. I will make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise God. So what do we got to look forward to? New things. New things. Not only just a new year, but with God in heaven, we have a new life to look forward to. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. A new, something new that God has made for us. But while we're still here, let me remind us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the Bible says that he that is in Christ, the person that's in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are new. Praise God. You are new. You're not the old person anymore. In Ephesians 4:24, not sure if this is what Ed will be preaching on, but it talks about putting on the new man, putting on the new self. Not the old again, but the new man. Lamentations 3:23, it says God's mercies are new every morning. And how many here know we need God's mercy new every morning? Amen? Yesterday's mercy is gone. 2017 mercies are gone. But how many woke up this morning and recognized and realized God's mercies are fresh and new today? Amen? And then tomorrow you'll wake up and there'll be new mercies. And new mercies every day, every day, every day. His mercies are new. And then before I came into the sanctuary for service, a passage kind of jumped into my mind, and so I turned to it. It's Matthew chapter 9, and I want to finish with this. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. And this won't be on the screen. I didn't have time to get it to the sound crew. But this is where they are challenging Jesus about fasting. And Jesus basically tells them, he says, well, while the bridegroom is here, I'm not requiring my disciples to fast. When I leave, they will. And that was a brand new idea. It was a brand new idea. And Jesus said of this, in verse 16, he gave this illustration. He said, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. And then verse 17 is what I want to get to. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break or burst. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into what? New wineskins, and both are preserved. And I thought of that. See, what new wine does is that it builds up energy. And you put new wine in an old wineskin, old dried out wineskin, which was probably a goat skin, it will burst. But you take a new wineskin and you put in the new wine and it will preserve it. All right? Someone gave us for Christmas a bottle of the sparkling cider, you know, the non-alcoholic stuff. Cheryl and I don't drink alcohol. And so they gave us that. And so I opened it yesterday. I put it in the fridge and I cooled it and I opened it. And so I took the cap off, and then it has this little plastic thing you put back on it. And so I did that. I took a glass and enjoyed it, and Cheryl didn't want any. And so I decided to finish it off. Not realizing that this stuff is building pressure. So I couldn't get that little plastic cap off, so I did what we men do. We use our bottle openers. Yeah, you know what happened. Bang, pop, pow, oh, man. And Cheryl turned around and said, what in the world? I said, I just, and she started laughing and laughing and laughing. And I'm standing there going, kiss it and make it better or something. But no, she wouldn't even touch me. You're going to be that silly. Just do it yourself. But anyway, because it was building up pressure, right? Well, that's what Jesus says happens with new wine. If you put it in old wineskins. Listen, 2018 is a new wineskin. Let's put in it new wine. Amen? Something new and something fresh. Let's just see what God has for us. Individually and as families and as a church. What does God have for us in this new year? Let's make sure we're ready with new wineskins. Now, it may look different. A new wineskin was different than the old wineskin, and that's what Jesus was saying. You've been living under the Old Testament all this time. Now you're going to be living under the New Testament, and 2018 could be different than 2017. But as long as we keep asking God to put something new inside of us, new inside of us, new and fresh, I believe it's going to be a banner year for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, please, this morning. Thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for being with us during our communion time as well. Father, we thank you this morning for the new wine of this new year. Thank you for new wineskins, an attitude, Lord, that we want God to do something new in our lives, new and fresh. And as Elihu said in Job, Lord, we want to hear God speak thunderously to us. We want to hear him speak to us this coming year, Lord. We want to expect great things that are beyond our comprehension, Elihu said. That's what my prayer is, that God, you would do great things this coming year for every man and woman, young person and child, Lord, that this would be a year of great expectations of what God has. Lord, I thank you that we can leave some things behind and leave behind the things that are not good for us. The disappointments, the failures, the grudges, and anything else, Lord, we just need to leave behind us. But Lord, we are excited about what is coming that is new. A new love for our families. A new appreciation for our jobs. Lord, a new look at our community. Lord, I pray you'd bless our new mayor, Mayor D'Alessandro, Lord. That you'd give him wisdom in this coming term that he will serve. We ask you to be with our city fathers. We ask you, Lord, to be with our community. Be with our church, Lord. God, be with our fellow churches in the area, our fellow pastors, Lord, that are here. Be with them in this new year. And as together as the body of Christ, help us to touch our community for God. Lord, thank you for communion today, for reminding us of how precious, Lord, we were in your sight, that you gave your life for us and died for us on the cross. And you love us so much, Lord. Give us a new appreciation of your love for us this morning. So I thank you, Lord, today that people have come out to church. I appreciate them being here. And Lord, as we leave today, help us to leave with this in our minds. God loves us so much. And his love for us is just beginning. There's so much more new love that's coming our way, because that's the expanse of God's love for us. We can never exhaust it. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy that will come every morning, for a fresh look at what God has for us. And we just commit all these things into your hands, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for the new year that's upon us. Amen. 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 All right. Take a minute or two to say Happy New Year to someone. Smile at them and tell them you love them and appreciate them coming to church. You're dismissed, and we'll see you, if not before, next Sunday. God bless you.